This address, with its included scripture reading, was part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on August the 4th, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
So today is the fourth and final part of a four-part series on giving as God gives, our life as God's stewards. And my address is based on the sermon text from Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Let's pray. Loving God, Heavenly Father, make us and keep us your holy ones in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We're going to watch a video as we start out this time now.
There are many ways of serving the Lord. Some people do great things. Some people are good preachers. Some people contribute lots and lots of money. But when we talk about this handful of rice, it is very humble. The service is done in the corner of the kitchen that nobody sees. But God knows. God bless.
Every day, simple women in the state of Mizoram in Northeast India are spearheading a revolution that is sweeping the world of missions. Their movement, Bhuvai Thang, or a handful of rice. Bhuvai Thang is a practice where each Mizo family puts aside a handful of rice every time they cook a meal, and later gather it and offer to the church. The church in turn sells the rice and generates income to support its work.
Rice has been the staple food of the people of Mizoram, the main life of the people. You are giving what is basic, essential, fundamental to your life. You are sharing that with God.
The Handful of Rice ministry started in Mizoram in 1910. At that time, many people did not know the gospel. So the church thought that we need Bible women to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The Bible women, they are locally supported women for evangelism. The practice of Bhuvai Thang is meant for supporting those Bible women.
This concept of Bhuvai Thang became so popular throughout Mizoram over the years that giving was not limited to some individuals. The whole of Mizoram, rich or poor, young or old, everybody contributed to it.
Bhuvai Thang
ทานตัวโบสถ์อันนี้นั่นที่น่าจังจวนนี้กลุ่มสมศรีอันเดียดเนี่ยมอญะกระเทียนเนี่ยน่าลองทุกันใส่นะกังไงฟางินบุฟายทานนี่ทานทางกระเทียนโซกันชุ่มเปียงคันละลีโซกันชุ่มเก็บปะละลีโซชุ่มเก็บนั่นกันทามันนี่กระเทียนเนี่ยน่าจังมันสมน่าต้องตักกันต้องเสียนี่ตัวน่าจะต้องโซคิเปกกระดวนนี่กระเทียหูตาเฮตเตียกระทามไม่ขะกระดูกตอกตอลวะนวิน
My mother has taught all of us right from when we were very young, and I feel like Bhuvai Thang is a piece of Christian service that anyone can do it.
Today, 95% of 900,000 Mizos are Christians. A strong and vibrant church has emerged. people started to give more and in creative ways. Rice, vegetables, firewood and other produce, and also cash besides their regular tithes to the church. The churches in Mizoram are now self-sufficient. One such example is the Mizoram Presbyterian Church, the largest church in Mizoram with about 500,000 members.
In 1914, the money received from the sale of handful of rice was rupees 80, that is $1.5.
We don't receive any outside funding. All the money we have, we receive, is raised within ourselves. Mizoram state is the most backward state in India, and we are the poorest of the poor, but still we can raise funds for the ministry of the Lord. We can support 1,800 mission workers, and in the meantime we can also send overseas missionaries.
There have been times when some churches have thought that we need to get blessings from God, and the attitude has been, what can we get when we become part of the church? But here, the handful of rice offering inspires us that God has called us to share what we have with God for God's ministry.
We Mizo people say, as long as we have something to eat every day, we have something to give to God every day.
It's a good story, I think, isn't it? A handful of rice given from a heart full of faith with thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Over time, the amount of rice has increased, the story goes, and moved on to firewood, vegetables and other produce. And as a result, the people of the poor state of Mizoram, and the churches, I should say, are now self-sufficient, so the story goes. As it started out 100 years ago, $1.50 US, maybe that would have bought a little bit more than it does today. In recent years, $3 million US. From little things, God's big things can grow. And as we heard on the video, we Mizo people say, as long as we have something to eat every day, we have something to give to God every day. It's a good story, isn't it? I pray that it's our story of giving as God has first given us in his Son Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice for us on the cross. It's a story that inspires me, because I know that my giving starts with me, a little bit like the story that we hear of Jesus with a widow who gave all that she had in Mark chapter 12. And I'll share that with you in a moment. Last week, though, we recognised that our giving flows from a heart that has first been filled by God's generosity, God's gift of our Lord Jesus Christ in giving himself for us and for our eternal life. We love because he first loves us. We give as Jesus has first given himself for us. And so the story of the widow in Mark chapter 12 goes like this. He, that is Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury at the temple. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." In reality, it's this widow who gives from a thankful heart abundantly. Can we do that? Do we give from our abundance? Or is our giving sometimes or all too often from our leftovers? And I'm not just talking about financially. Although it is a question for us, isn't it, in this day and age, in these troubled financial times where just, you know, the trolley full of stuff that once cost me this now costs so much more. In terms of our financial giving, I'd like to just introduce briefly this morning two biblical concepts. First fruits and tithing. And you've probably heard of these along the way. First fruits. God, first of all, gave the people of Israel a feast of first fruits. It's a time for them to recognise their thanksgiving to God for what he has first given to them. And this starts out with the gift of the promised land in the Old Testament. The festival of first fruits was to be an annual festival of thanksgiving in response to God's rescue from slavery in Egypt. The grain was not to be harvested until the first fruits offering was brought to the Lord. It's a thanksgiving offering, but with a story to tell. And it goes like this in Deuteronomy chapter 26, where God says, "When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that your Lord, that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, 'Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us.'" It's a current story of thanksgiving, of God's rescue and of God's giving. "The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me." First fruits, giving back to the Lord as we have received first of all. And I've observed this in wonderful ways in places of services of thanksgiving, harvest thanksgiving services. Some people will remember, perhaps in the LCR, I've been in places like Papua New Guinea, where at the end of the service, each family will come with an abundance of things to bring to the altar. And the time of giving takes longer than the service itself sometimes. Some of us were in Indonesia just a few short months ago visiting our partner congregation there. And people danced up to the place of giving in their response as well. First fruits, a handful of rice from hearts full of thanks. How about from you and me? What's our response? In the Old Testament, God also institutes the tithe for Israel as it's about to take possession of the promised land. And we hear about this in a couple of places that I mentioned this morning. In Leviticus chapter 27, a tenth of the land's produce, whether grain from the ground or fruit from the trees, is God's. Or in Deuteronomy chapter 14, make an offering of 10%, a tithe, of all the produce which grows in your fields year after year. Bring this into the presence of God, your God, at the place he designates for worship. Should we be tithing 10% of our income, our produce, if you will? Is that what our handful of rice might look like? Well, perhaps it is. Perhaps it does. The word tithe comes from an old English word simply meaning one-tenth. And it's sometimes become something of an expectation or a law for Christian giving. And I need just to say from the very, very outset that there is no law about tithing for us as Christians. That Old Testament law no longer holds as a rule for us today. We follow the rule of love, God's love in our hearts. What is our response, though, to God's grace and God's life for us? Tithing can be used by us as a good goal, as a good discipline for our free-willed giving from hearts of thankfulness in response to what God in his Son has done and by his Spirit continues to do in our hearts. For the Mizo people in Mizoram in India, and I met Mizo people in Myanmar as well, they discipline themselves and have disciplined themselves for a long time, haven't they? Giving this handful of rice in response to what God has done for God's ministry and mission. My question simply for us today is, what does our handful of rice look like in response to the life that we have in Christ Jesus? I'd like to invite our chair, Ben Gargett, to come forward and maybe just give to us a couple of examples of how we might consider our responses to God's love for us too.
Thank you, Neville. Good morning, everyone. Many of you would have seen an article that Kate Burke wrote for the Sunday Extra this week. If you haven't seen it, I'd encourage you to have a look and commend that article to you. And thank you, Kate, for putting it together. In that article, it contained a text from Acts chapter 4, which included the following words. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They shared everything they had. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. What an amazing community that new Christian church was. And how blessed and amazing is our community here at St. Paul's. Over the last 10 years or so, we've experienced a lot of change in this congregation. We've changed our very worship location, our team, our staff team. We've got a new focus on service and on mission. And we're still in those cycles of change as Project B continues next door. And our finances also echo this change. You may have noticed that we've been giving an offering update that's been provided at least once a month to everyone through our Sunday extras and Sunday paper. And just to remind you, our 2024 budget we agreed on asked for offerings of $438,000. Our costs are running on track, but at the halfway mark of the year, our offerings are $23,000 below budget. It's a little bit confronting. And we do ask that you look at these figures and reflect on your experience in our congregation. Each week we are blessed with inspiring worship, supported by our volunteers and our staff. We offer many things to our members and our guests, such as our recently refreshed children's ministry, St. Paul's Kids. And three Tuesdays out of four, we offer different fellowship opportunities. We are able to provide comfortable and safe environment here for our members and our guests. And despite the challenge of reduced space during construction, we continue to offer the hospitality and fellowship, particularly in here after worship. The $23,000 shortfall is confronting, But if we look at the numbers as a community, the story is a bit different. There are about 130 households in our congregation. And we are all in different circumstances, of course. But, for example, if 100 of those households could increase their weekly offerings by between $15 to $20, we would meet our budget by the end of the year. So, what do we do, and what can we do with the givings that you contribute? Let me give you just three examples of the many that I'm sure you're aware of. We provide really important pastoral care, which makes things like our seniors group possible through Kathy Beaton's ministry. It also provides for home communion visits, such as one Pastor Nev did to Alan in hospital on Wednesday during the week. It pays for the cost of communion elements, both here and for our volunteers, like our new volunteer pastoral carer, Sandy, who visited and communed John, who's at home this past week. It supports our worship ministry through the funding of Pastor Neville and through Sue's roles. And this makes it possible not only for us to worship today, but also to have a midweek service at Station Street where people come to receive the means of grace, where a Sunday morning perhaps doesn't work for everyone. It also supports us to pay the electricity bills so that our confirmation class can meet in this cold weather down at Station Street after worship today, and so that we can hold community gatherings, such as the lunch that we held last Sunday, and these ongoing community gatherings, the brainchild of Brianna Coulson, as we emerged from COVID. We receive many handfuls of rice from you all. Thank you. Can you consider your own handfuls of rice as we look to continue to grow our ministries and our mission? And always remember, God's grace is so powerfully at work for us and in us here at St. Paul's.
Thanks, Ben. Good on you. And also, my thanks to everyone who serves with your gifts here at St. Paul's too. What does it mean for us as we make the journey? What does your handful of rice look like? Well, mine is going to include, for example, one extra one of these in it, as Kate has encouraged us and as Ben has encouraged us, so that we might meet that budget and continue our ministry as planned. As long as we have something to eat every day, the people of Mizoram say, we have something to give to God every day. A handful of rice from a heart full of faith and thanks. Amen. And the peace of God which passes our human understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.